Amen. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13 tonight. Matthew, chapter number 13. Brian, can you come up here, please, just a minute? Matthew, chapter number 13 tonight. Matthew 13. Let's stand together tonight. Do you have a seat right there just a second? Matthew 13 tonight. And I want you to look with me at a few verses, beginning at verse number 24. And I'll read down through verse number 30 tonight for the message. Matthew 13, verse number 24 tonight. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May God add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God tonight. You be seated if you would. Miss Brian, I want you, if you would, to give a short testimony of what God did in your life just several weeks ago after we were in the meeting down at Victory Baptist, and then you spoke to your papa after service on a Sunday morning. I want you to share what God did in your life, if you would.
I'm 17, and I made a profession of faith when I was 13 years old at Bible camp. And it was a lot of emotions and stuff, and since then I never had any peace. I struggled with that for a long time, and it was something that was just something inside of me. I never talked to anybody about it. It was something that it was very hard for me to talk about because I was the preacher's granddaughter. I sang in a group, and it was so hard for me, but I knew that something wasn't right. And I went for years, I know for 2 years, and that was something that I struggled with for a long time. I mean, I had everybody convinced that I was. I was in Bible class one day, and we had different Bible papers that we had to do on disciples. And one of the guys did it on Judas Iscariot. And little did I know that Judas Iscariot was never saved. And he followed the Lord so close. He followed Jesus so close, but still he died and went to hell. And as he was giving his paper, I knew that that was me. I mean, I was so close. I mean, I did everything. On the outside, I looked fine. I mean, I went to church. I did all the actions that I was supposed to do. There was no peace inside. And on Easter Sunday, I knew that if I was to leave church, that the Lord was either going to quit dealing with me or he was going to kill me. And I knew that I had to have some peace. And after church, everybody left, and I went to my papa, and I said, Papa, I've got to have peace. And we sat and talked, and I knew that I was not saved. I mean, I had it in my mind, but I didn't have it in my heart. And it was on Easter Sunday I got saved, and you would not believe how the Lord has blessed and what he's done. I mean, in school, he allowed me to give my testimony at school, and there was like 12 that got saved out of school, and it was just the Lord's been moving, and I just want to thank the Lord for it and thank the Lord for Preacher Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate you. I want to preach with the help of God tonight on this thought, how to tear up the church. How to tear up the church. I don't want to use the word T-E-A-R tonight, but I want to use the word T-A-R-E. I am convinced tonight that we are trying to make sheep out of goats. For those of you that The preacher said tonight he enjoys the fire. Don't you worry about it. There'll be enough people to throw a wet blanket on you. I promise you that. You enjoy it while you can and thank God for it. But I also want you to understand tonight that being saved is more than shouting. I've seen people that shout, but you can't hardly get them to church through the week. I've seen people that rejoice on Sunday but don't make it back Sunday night. I've seen folk that come to church on Sunday morning and clap with the choir, but I hadn't been on Wednesday night in 10 years. And I'm telling you, the kind of salvation that God gave me when I got saved is the kind of salvation that changed my life. When I got saved, God changed my radio station. God changed my dialect. God changed my life. Put a love in my heart for the house of God, a desire to serve the Lord. God changed my life. I ran across a statement some time ago, and this statement was somewhat surprising to me. Now, I don't want to put Independent Baptists in this statement, but yet we are those that believe in sharing the gospel. After a survey of evangelical churches in America, said that 80% of the people who profess Christ will one day turn away from that profession. 80% of the people that say they're saved, one day for some reason or another, will turn away from that statement. Friend, I'm telling you, we are living in a day where everybody you talk to is going to heaven. We got the sodomites going to heaven. We've got abortion that's going to heaven. I mean, everybody's going to heaven. Rock musicians going to heaven. Country stars going to heaven. I mean, people don't go to church, never even open a Bible. Everybody these days is going to heaven. My question is, if that's the case, why did Jesus die? If we're all going to heaven and we're so good, why did God give His Son? If we're all going to heaven and everybody's so well, why did God give His Son? Friend, I'm going to tell you right now, until you see yourself as a sinner and lost without God, and until you see yourself in need of a Savior, you'll die and go to hell. You've got to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said in the last days, God would gather the harvest and there'd be wheat and there'd be tares. The disciples said, should we separate them? And God said, I'll take care of that in the reaping. Don't you listen to me tonight. I've enjoyed the service, but I knew I wouldn't be shouting. I enjoyed the songs. Tears in my eyes, and I loved every minute of it. But when I was out praying earlier today, there was no doubt what God wanted me to preach tonight. And I'm glad you got your shouting in. Because my burden tonight is for a lot of people sitting in fundamental Baptist churches that have a form of godliness. We know how to tote our Bible. We know how to cut our hair. We know how to dress to go to church. We know all the things there is to know. We have a fundamental form of godliness. But I wonder, when the sun sets tonight and we pillow our head, I wonder tonight how many of us in this building have the absolute assurance that we have done business with God and that we are saved by the grace of God. Today I'm convinced that we're trying to make the tares look like wheat. And by the way, in their infancy, when they're both beginning to grow out of the ground, I want you to understand tonight that they will look very, very, very similar. And understand tonight that the wheat and the tares will have somewhat of a semblance until they mature. And the farther they grow, the more you will notice how that there is a difference between wheat and tares. And friend, can I say this today? If you're saved by the grace of God, you are not what you used to be. You cannot be what you used to be. If you're saved by the grace of God, there has been a change in your life. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Friend, when I got saved by God's grace, God opened up the windows of glory. The stars went on dress parade. God turned a bucket of honey over in my soul. And every now and then it begins to ooze out. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I know in whom I have believed. Several weeks ago, I began to think, why is it that we have so many tares in the church? Why in the world is it there are so many lost people joining our churches? You're saying, a preacher, you telling me the churches have lost people in them? I'm telling you that ducks quack and dogs bark. Amen. I'm telling you before God, yes, that's true. And I'm saying probably even in this one. You help me understand something. If somebody's saved, why wouldn't they want to go to church? I mean, if you're saved by the grace of God, why wouldn't you want to go to church? You say, well, preacher, I don't have an answer for that. Ta-da. Yeah. Hey, listen, before I got saved, my mother raised me on drugs. And I'm not talking about needles. She drugged me to church every service. She drugged me Sunday morning, drugged me Sunday night, drugged me Wednesday night. As long as I lived in that house, I was going to go to church, and I didn't like it. I asked my mama one time, I said, why can't we go to that church up the road? They don't have service but one time a week. And that's about 35, 40 minutes. She looked at me, she said, because that's not your church. See, we didn't vote on things around our house. Wasn't no cell phones taken and standing in corners and all that stuff. They just beat the devil out of you. Amen. By the way, it'd do our generation a little good. Anyway, after I got saved on a Sunday night, 1982, halfway down the aisle. Yeah, that's right. I didn't even kneel. I didn't even kneel and get saved. I didn't even say the sinner's prayer. Of course, you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance and be an American either. Got to have some documentation. But halfway down the aisle, I called on God. Said, God, I'm tired of living like this. And save me, Lord. And he did. Guess what? I didn't want to go to that other church. You know why? They didn't have church but 30 minutes a week. Why in the world would I want to go somewhere that didn't have church for 30 minutes a week? Man, I wanted to go every time the doors are open. And if somebody left a crack in it, I'd try to sneak in. Not today. Lord, now don't get too quiet on me here, but the pastor has to get on the phone. Sure hope y'all can make it to meeting this week. Sure have been missing y'all. Well, Sally Sue's got soccer. Bobby and Bill's playing t-ball. You know what you're teaching Sally Sue and Bobby and Bill? that the world's more important than God is. Amen. Hey, I don't apologize for preaching that. I'm telling you right now, what we better be teaching our youngins is this, that Jesus means more than anything. There is nothing more important than Him. And if we're saved by the grace of God, now, I want to ask you tonight, why are we tearing up our churches so bad? So many lost people. That was a day there was conviction at God's house. Now, some of the things I'm going to preach are not popular, but I think that you will agree that they're truthful. First of all, tonight, we have substituted personalities for preachers. You know what everybody wants today? Go to church. I'm telling you what everybody wants. Somebody to entertain you. Boy, I sure hope that one preacher comes. He's so funny. You go back to the Percy Rays, and J. Harold Smiths and the Mays Jacksons. They got in the pulpit with the anointing of God on them and just preached hell hot, heaven sweet, holy living, and men and women fell under conviction and got to the place where God changed their lives. But today, it's personality. Oh, we want a preacher that has a wonderful personality. That's why today, Mr. Osteen's so popular. In the last days, God said there'd be men that have itching ears. There'll be those that want a soothsayer in the pulpit and somebody to stand behind it and tell them how wonderful they are and how God is love and He is. One fellow said to me one time, said, Brother Chris, you ought to preach love more. I said, all right, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Amen. Understand we need to love God and He's a God of love. But He's also a God of wrath. God of judgment. He's a holy God. We've substituted personalities. Oh, He just makes me feel good. Boy, I just laugh when He comes. The Bible says, how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. 2 Timothy says, for the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You say, well, shouldn't a preacher be able to teach? Absolutely. Shouldn't you have teaching? Yes, called Sunday school. Get in it. I'll be honest with you, my hide needs some preaching. Amen. I need somebody to rear back, gun barrel straight, without compromise, stay in the Bible, but preach to me. Amen. I need preaching. Amen. I don't want people to leave a meeting that I preach in and more interested than the message I preach is how many pews I jumped on. Not jump on pews, I jump over pews. Sometimes I do interesting stuff. But I want to be known that I preach the Bible. I want people to know that that man preached the Word of God unto me. The Bible says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering. The Bible said we're seeing the day we're living in today. We have substituted personalities for preachers. Now, I want all y'all to stay with me here just a second. You say, preacher, why you preach a message like this after a service like that? I don't call what I preach. And when God puts something on me, it doesn't matter how the service goes. I preach what He told me to preach. Now, I want you to listen. I won't give you something. You get a hold of it. You folks over there at Open Door, y'all excited. I like it. I'm all for it. You folks here at Morning Star, some of you excited. I don't know everybody. The ones I've seen seem like you're glad to be here. Brother Don, he's excited. I'm going to tell you something that ought to really excite you tonight. That God's given you an old fashioned, God called, King James Bible preaching, man of God, that'll still scream about hell and tell you how heaven's sweet is. And he ain't afraid to stand up and preach the word of God and tell you how to live right. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got in under old-fashioned Holy Ghost, God said, preaching of the word of God. Amen. I'd whole lot have a Holy Ghost-filled preacher and I had Obama. I'd whole lot rather have a Holy Ghost filled preacher of the gospel than Oprah. I'd whole lot rather have my youngins have a hero like a good man of God than I had a Miley Cyrus or than I had some star. I'd rather have my kids have a God-fearing man of God that's a part of their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Young and sitting right here. Been here every stand up, son. Been here every night but Wednesday night. How old are you, darling? 16. How old are you, son?
15.
Have a seat. Been there every night but one. And that's when they was at their church on Wednesday. You say, Brother Chris, they come here, you preach a lot? Yes, they do. About any time I'm anywhere, I'll see them. They'll be there. You say, preacher, why is that? Because them youngins like old-fashioned preaching. Hey, they like to hear the word of God. Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. We're raising a generation today that's sick and tired of being sick and tired. They know our teaching ministry ain't doing it. They know our contemporary music ain't doing it. Friend, there ain't but one thing that's going to change America, and that's old-fashioned Holy Ghost leather-lined preaching. The reason we've got a bunch of tares in our church is because we got a bunch of sissies up here. We got fellas that mount the pulpit with lace on their underwear. They're afraid to preach. Now, I'm not talking about mean-spirited. I'm not talking about getting up and chewing everybody up and looking down their nose at everybody and preaching mean. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for that. I love my people. If I didn't love my church and love what I do, I'd get out of it before I'd hurt anybody. I'm not interested in that. I'm just talking about preaching on heaven and hell. I'm talking about preaching on living clean and holy and right before God. I'm talking about just getting a preacher that'll preach the Bible and stand for what's right and stand on the Word of God and have conviction. And if not, all we're doing is making people feel comfortable on their way to hell. Amen. You say, Brother Chris, I'm listening to you tonight, but I don't really like you. Friend, listen, that makes me feel good. Because the Bible said, be wary when all men speak well of you. Y'all know what? When God first called me to preach, you know what? I'm telling y'all, this honest statement I made. When God first called me to preach, I thought, man, this is great. Everybody loves a preacher. You know what I found out? Depends on what kind of preacher you is. Amen. Hey, I promise you before God, friend, if you stand up and say, hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Hey, you got to get right with God to get right. Hey, I'm telling you. Huh? Do you know Larry King ain't called me one time for an interview? Matter of fact, all them polls they're getting, ain't nobody ever polled me either. Huh? Any of y'all been polled about gay rights and abortion? Who they polling? You know what I'm so glad of, Brother Tommy? I'm glad there's still a remnant. I'm glad there's still a crowd. I'm glad there's some folk right here at Morningstar and wherever you might be that still like old-fashioned preaching. And can I say this? Preaching will change your life. Preacher, why are we seeing so many tears in church? Because we've substituted personalities for preaching. Now don't look at your watch. Y'all sung an hour. I've been preaching 15 minutes. So just don't look at your watch. You don't need your watch. You sung an hour. I figure I'll at least preach two. Secondly, we have substituted programs for power. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe churches are to be in order. I believe churches are to have things. We have a senior adult ministry, a youth ministry. We have a Spanish ministry. We have ministries and programs in our church. But you can't substitute that for power. I'm telling you, if we're going to have power in the church, somebody's got to get in the prayer closet. Somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to seek God. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, we are trying to do the work of God today powerless. Paul said we have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There is no substitute for the power of God. Several years ago, we had a youth meeting. Revival meeting. Church I pastored went for 5 weeks. This was before my daughter was here tonight. It was before she was born. My office in that church was in, right as you come in the main doors, before you walked in the auditorium, my office was to the right. My wife and I, we decided because God was moving so much, we made us a pallet and we just stayed in my office for a week or so at night, just stayed at the church. 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, we leave the doors open all night long. 3 o'clock in the morning, you would hear people screaming. You'd hear somebody come walking in about 3 o'clock in the morning. They come walking in, you'd hear them crying, "Oh God. God, my daddy's going to hell. God, my mama's going to hell." And you could hear them at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning as God would break their hearts as they would weep around that altar. And boy, you come to church the next night and you'd walk in before the preacher shook your hand, before anybody sung a song, Holy Ghost would say, "Glad to have you." Sinners would get to shaking before they ever walked in the door. And they'd be nervous about the service because they knew that God was there. One particular night, God got so thick, man, it was so thick it literally got foggy. Just the Holy Ghost settled in that church. I'm talking about a fundamental, independent Bible in King James Bible preaching church. It settled in. I hadn't realized it, but a group of our teenagers had slipped out to the back into a prayer room. They'd been in there about 45 minutes. I was standing in the pulpit and I noticed an 80-some-year-old lady had a hanky in her hand. She was walking down the back hallway. She got down the hallway and she stopped in front of the door where those young people were. And she put her hand on the doorknob. She jumped back and said, "Whoa!" That's all she did. You probably heard like that, preacher. I started watching her. She went, "Whoa!" She reached back up and tried to open the door again. Jumped back, "Whoa!" I'm talking about 80-something years old, little hanky. Yeah. Shoot, boy, I miss that crowd. Yeah. I said, I miss that crowd. Yeah. A couple minutes later, she opened the door. She walked in that room. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. I'm telling you honest for the Lord. It was 15, 20 degrees cooler in that room than anywhere else in the building. Them kids been praying for about 20 minutes, and literally the breath of God had settled over them kids in that room. I'm talking about power. One of the young boys walked out of that room, never said anything to anybody, started walking around the church after service was over. For an hour and a half, all he ever said as he walked around the church was, "Hallelujah and glory to God." For an hour and a half, "Hallelujah and glory to God. Hallelujah and glory to God." For an hour and a half, all he did was walk around that building. For an hour, "Hallelujah and glory to God." You say, "Preacher, what happened to him?" He's pastoring in Virginia. Amen. He was 17 then. Amen. I'm telling you, we have substituted programs for power, and that's why we're so confused. We have people signing cards and "repeat after me," and we're raising a generation of people that don't know God. My Lord, we're raising a generation of people that have never been around the glory, wouldn't know what to do with it if it showed up. I've been in meetings where it broke out and had pastors to say to me, "Preacher, you help me. I've never been around this." A couple years ago, we tried to take our young people home from a youth conference and couldn't even leave the parking lot in the bus. Kids were laying in the floor of the bus, begging God not to let their friends and their mom and daddies go to hell. But what we've done today is we've developed programs. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm for having programs. I'm for having a church that's structured. I'm for that. But it won't replace the power of God. I don't know about you, but Brother Joe, I like it when God the Holy Ghost messes up my program. I like it when you look up there and you listen to the choir, and the next thing you know, half of them's walking around the building and down in the aisle. One morning I looked out my window and my Sunday school superintendent during Sunday school was running across the field, throwing his hands up in the air. About 5 minutes later, there went my secretary, and she was running across the field and throwing her hands up in the air. You say, "Preacher, what happened?" Something got a hold of them, and it was bigger than a problem. Program. Honey, it was God that changed them. But what scares me today, and please don't take this statement wrong, I am far from arrogant. I know you think when somebody preaches with you, I'm far from that. Please don't take this wrong. I should have went to hell. I mean, please don't take this wrong. But I'm afraid today we don't have birthing power in the church. There's people walk in chewing bubble gum, smile during a message on hell, balance their checkbooks, text message people, set in the services during a message on hell, and they're never bothered. How many of you, some of you older generation, remember a day, boy, when you walked in a church lost, son, the Holy Ghost would get on you. Boy, I remember when God broke me back getting saved, man, I was shaking like a leaf. Son, I knew I was about to drop off into hell. Just what happened to that youngin' when she gave a testimony, I knew I was about to go to hell. I was in the RAs. I was singing in the youth choir. I was doing all that stuff, but I was lost and on my way to hell. I knew I'd burn hell wide open. I'd sing the songs of the Lord on Sunday and AC/DC on Monday. There wasn't nothing real about me. I was on my way to hell, and then something got a hold of me, and God changed my life. Hallelujah, and he set me free. I never heard preaching on changing music. Quit going to the places you go to. But somebody told me. You say, well, preacher, if the preacher didn't tell you, who told you? I'm glad when I got saved. Hallelujah. On the inside of me, there's a sweet Holy Ghost. And He leads me every day. And He's the power of my life. Amen. We have exchanged personalities for preachers. We have exchanged programs for power. Disciples came to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus saith unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Listen to me. People going to hell in your family. God help me. There are people tonight going to hell in our youth groups. There are people going to hell out of our Sunday school department. There are people going to hell in our very families. And I'm so afraid we're playing games at the foot of the cross. I'm so afraid we're not broken and we're not burdened. And we just think, well, they're pretty good people. Friend, it don't matter how good we are. I know some really wonderful people. Some of the best people I know. But if they died tonight, they'd go to hell. Because it's not how good you are. You must know Christ as your Savior. We got to have power, man. You got to have power. Most of these that you saw shouting a while ago, my buddy, I didn't even have to ask him. And some of these tonight, you know why they shout like that? Because they know where they were. See, we get excited because we know what we were. Hey! For all, hallelujah. Hey, for all intents and purposes, Brother Don, I should be in hell. I should be in hell. But I'm glad there was enough power. I'm glad there was enough birthing power. I'm glad there was enough God that, hallelujah, reached farther down than I could reach up. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I don't shout because I'm going to heaven as much as I shout because I ain't going to hell. I mean, I got up this morning. There's a lot of places I might go, but hell ain't one of them. Hallelujah. Hey, help me, man. I'm glad I've been blood bought. I'm glad the price has been paid. I'm glad the blood still has power. I'm glad salvation's real tonight. I don't even hope I'm going to heaven. I know I am. Matter of fact, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm really not even here tonight. As Brother Sammy would say, amen. I'm really not even here tonight. Matter of fact, John has already saw me. The book of Revelation is about the things which were and the things which are and the things which shall be. John's already seen the church, the bride of Christ. He's already seen of it. And honey, I'm in that number. I want you to watch now. Bible says I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Only things holding me back from having a time is this old body. One day we'll lay this body down. You say, oh, preacher, it'll be over, honey. It won't be over. I promise you, oh, no. For a child of God, it's just getting started. You know the world thinks we crazy. I'm telling you, they done seen your car in the parking lot. They think you're crazy. And a bunch of lunatics and screaming and hollering, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I say, sweetest name I know. Woo! Help yourself, darling, glory to God. You know why they think you're crazy? They ain't never been where you were. They wasn't even there when you got out. You got the can't help it. I mean, you've tried. You've tried. You said, I'm going to control it. You've tried. But deep down inside of you, hey, you ever had a mama, grandma cook with them pressure cookers? One day my mama was cooking some beef and some taters. And she had one of them pressure cookers. And a little thing on top was going, I said, Mama, what is that? She said, that's releasing the pressure. I said, what would happen? I said, what would happen if that wasn't on there? She said, son, it'd blow its top. She said, watch now, there's more pressure in it than it can contain. One little girl said, Mama, if God's so big and he lives on the inside of me, looks like he'd stick out somewhere. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, you got God the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. I'm about to get it now.
That's good.
Hey, I get the can't help it. When I begin to think of what I was, when I begin to think of what I'd done, and a holy God would love somebody like me when he ought to let me go to hell, but he loves somebody like me. You say, preacher, if I get saved, I hope I don't act like that. I hope you act worse. We had an old boy named Eddie got saved in our church some years ago. When he came to our church, he was rough, man. Rough. I mean, you know, he was just one of them guys, had hair slicked back, hair down his back, rough looking. I mean, and I'm talking about mean looking. Oh, Eddie came to church and somebody invited him. And I'm talking about a fella that could probably tie his arm behind his back, still whoop five good men. And you'd have to kill him to get him off of you. I mean, he was bad, buddy. Eddie got saved. First Sunday after he got saved, he come in church, had a little black tie on, a little white shirt, a pair of jeans. He thought he was going to the prom, son. I mean, he just looked at God's young as ought not do that either, but that's another message. How in the world can you go dance to something that you're against? Now I'm going to move on. I'm going to get on. That's a different story. Now don't you listen. After Eddie got saved, he became a good Baptist. He had a problem. One Sunday he come up to me and he said, preacher, he said, I got a problem. I said, Eddie, what's going on, man? He said, preacher, he said, you get to preaching and sometimes all them people get to hollering. I can't hear nothing. He said, I can't hear nothing. He said, they get to hollering, shouting, the choir singing. I can't even hear the choir. I said, well, Eddie, I hate that. I said, I can't stop them from shouting, man. He said, preacher, I know it. He said, you pray for them, preacher. That bothers me. We went a couple of months. He didn't come back to me at all. I mean, it got on. He didn't come back. I thought he was over it, then he came again. Same thing. Preacher, it happened again. I said, Eddie, I hate him, man. I can't stop him shouting. He said, that's all right. He said, Preacher, it got so loud I couldn't hear the choir again. I said, well, man, I want you to enjoy the choir. He said, well, Preacher, it's okay. He said, I looked around trying to find out who was doing all that shouting. And he said, Preacher, I realized it was me. I'm telling you the truth. My wife knows who I'm talking about. Now watch this, though. Then he gave me this very carnal analogy. This is very carnal, okay? A young Christian. He said, Preacher, you know, I've been pretty much a drunk all my life. I said, Eddie, I know that. He said, well, Preacher, I couldn't never get along with them boys till I was drunk. He said, I was drunk and I'd get along. We'd have a time. He said, Preacher, I've learned it's kind of the same way at church, ain't it? Yeah. Now, I'm telling you now, you got to say this old boy just got saved. He said, I've learned if you're going to enjoy this crowd, you better just act like them. Amen. He said, matter of fact, I decided I'm just going to act like they act. Well, I got to finish. Some folks' religion's running out. Let me move on. We have substituted personalities for preachers, programs for power. We've substituted, and you men have preached this stuff, nothing new under the sun. We've substituted professions for possessions. There is a key word that's lacking in most people's experience that they say they're saved. That word is repentance. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. You never get saved until you see yourself lost. Now, a lot of people, they want to get saved because they get caught. You ever notice every politician get caught, all of a sudden he's sorry? I'm sorry I did that. He hadn't got caught, he'd have never said a word. Give you an illustration, and I'm about done here, stick with me. Back when I was a teenage boy, I was pretty smart. Me and my nephew, we rocket scientists. My daddy worked this place called Lollard. It was a cigarette factory in Greensboro, North Carolina. My daddy's gone from this world today because pretty much cigarettes killed him. He's died of emphysema. But my daddy'd bring home a lot of cigarettes because, you know, they got them free and all that. And so my smart nephew and I, we decided we wanted to try them things. So daddy goes to work, mom ain't tired. She didn't know nobody but us. So we really got smart. We thought, now how can we do this and not get caught? And then the thing went in our mind. We'll go up in the attic of the house. Light a match and a cigarette in the attic of a house. Smart. Rocket scientist. So we get up there, and how many of y'all know that they have something called rafters, but if you step in between them, that your foot will go through? I found that out in my dad's bathroom. We was up our preacher trying to sneak, and foot went through the middle and busted a hole in the bathroom ceiling. No problem. We're rocket scientists. We come down. Scotty said to me, Chris, what are you going to do? I said, we'll fix it. He said, what are you going to fix it with? I said, give me some scotch tape. Stay with me now. And believe it or not, this is going somewhere. Stay with me. So we push up the old style towel. You got to remember now, this is in the 80s. You know, this is 8-track era. We push up that stuff and we put scotch tape over it. How many of y'all know that when daddy shaved, they do this? How many of y'all know that when your parent calls you all three names, it's not good? Well, my daddy found that. He didn't take my cell phone. We didn't even have them. We didn't know what they were. The bag's phone hadn't even got in there yet. But when I saw him, he knew I'd done what I'd done. Will you listen? I was sorry that I got caught. And you know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid that a lot of people that go to church, as long as they don't get caught, they're all right. Now, I love you, folk, but I get real nervous about all the fornication going on in church. Adultery. People not living right. Are we literally trying to make goats, sheep? I got in a little late to the men praying. So I just knelt over in the corner and wanted to pray a little while. The more I prayed, the more God burdened me about this message. I knew that Brother Joe's folks would be here and some of these other men that... Well, they just help you when you preach, you know. I mean, man, if I get on the right message, they'll help me whether it's any good or not. They'll help me. I mean, they'll help me. But I knew this was the type of message. I said, God, now this is different. I mean, I preach different this year every night just about. I almost feel an urgency this year. I haven't felt since I've been here. I'm just telling you straight up. I feel an urgency. But I thought, God, if you want me to preach it, I'll preach it. Then, you know, you get up here and, Lord, folks are shouting, praising God. I think, well, God, it's going to blow out. You know, if it does, I'll just shout with them, get up here and pray. And I knew, listen, the Holy Ghost is, And then when Miss Brenda come up and sung, she come by me there. I knew it was on track because I knew what God had done in her life just a little while ago. Be ashamed. Her grandpa's one of my dearest friends. Brother Stewart, be ashamed. Brian would have went to hell because she's tried to hide under daddy's coat and grandpa's coat. And it'd be a shame if one of you in this building tonight went to hell because you have so much pride that you're trying to convince everybody else that you're okay. Let me ask you a question tonight. Could you pillow your head tonight? If you knew, like Jesus said to the man that had so much, he wanted to build bigger barns, and he said to him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If you knew this was it for you tonight, could you take what you have tonight and know that it's okay between you and God? And could you take what you have tonight and know that you'll be in heaven if it ended tonight? You say, preacher, I don't think that's fair. Preacher, to be totally honest, I mean, you're trying to make me doubt. Now, I'm going to give you a great statement. Listen, God is not the author of confusion. When people come to me doubting their salvation, most of the time they're saved. Let me tell you why I know that. God deals in conviction, not confusion. The devil will try to confuse you to rob you of your joy if you're saved. God will convict you to the point you feel like you're going to die and drop off into hell and you can't shake it off. There's a difference. Now, I thank you for being patient. Morning Star, I love you. All you folks, thank you for letting me preach. I love you. Man, I'm burdened tonight. There may be somebody here tonight, you're not even part of this church. But you came tonight, and just be honest, you know, you don't have peace. If you died tonight, you don't have peace. Man, I remember what that was like as a boy. I was raised around all my life, preaching I was. Lord, I remember many a time I could hardly go to bed and turn the light off. Because I knew I could drop off into hell. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. All right, let me ask you something. Who do you love that's not? It may not be a big deal tonight, but you let them lay in the casket somewhere and you're sitting in a funeral service and it's a big deal. Because you know it's goodbye forever. I preached my daddy's funeral. And the joy I had as I tapped his casket when I walked away from the grave. And I said, Daddy, I know he was already gone. But you know how it is. It's that old body you loved. And I said, Daddy, I'll see you later. He'll be waiting. And I know he can't look down here. Folks in heaven ain't looking down all this sin. But I believe they get reports. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels, not the angels. The angels do not shout over salvation. Who's in the presence of the angels? Folks that's already saved and got there. My heart's burdened tonight, folks. There's kind of service nights when I love to shout in. I'm sure my wife looked over at me during that service and thought, man, he's just sitting there. She knows me. I guarantee she knew, Lord, God's going to put something on him to preach. Now listen to me, we're done. Don't you go out them double doors because Grandpa's a preacher. Because you sing in a choir. Because you get up with the youth group. Don't you go out them doors because you've been in Sunday school all your life and you can quote the books of the Bible and risk a chance of never getting in. They may even preach your funeral and get up and say, boy, they love the Lord. They were so faithful in church. And while they're saying that, you're screaming in hell. Amen. I'm begging you tonight. Make sure it's right. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Brother Joe, I can't scare you what I'm saying, can I? Because you know you're saved and you've got peace and you can pillow your head and close your eyes and say, God, if you come, everything's good. I'm trying to quit. Stay with me. My little wife sitting over here made a profession of faith when she was 9 years old, right, Miss Wendy? Raised by a God-fearing mother. Her daddy died when she was a four-year-old little girl. After I'd been pastoring a little while, one day she came in the house. She was all tore up, man. She said, Chris, I need to talk to you. And I could tell she was serious. This wasn't no just wife deal. She was talking to her preacher. She sat down with me. She said, I'm so tired of dealing with doubt. And she said, will you help me? And I still remember that bedroom down at Gracewood, Miss Wendy. When we got over there, she got that thing settled. She's never come to me and said it again. But she got it settled. Can you stay with me a couple minutes? Sister, are you the one playing the piano tonight? I want just as I am, just quietly played. Thank you. Heads are bowed, let's stand our feet. I'm going to ask something unusual tonight. For just a moment tonight, I want to leave the altar open for just a moment. While the men of God are praying, I want to ask you a question, every head bowed. How many ever say, preacher? If God would stop my heart if somebody crossed the center line. If tomorrow I was in this world no more. Preacher, everything's all right. I know I'm saved. I know my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have peace tonight. I can pillow my head and say it is well with my soul. I don't want anybody looking around but me. If you, without hesitation, can say that tonight and mean it and know it, with God looking on, I want you to slip your hand toward heaven and say, "Preacher, I know that tonight." You can put it down. If in this building tonight you could not raise your hand, but you care enough about your soul that you would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand." If you care enough about your soul tonight and you let me pray for you, would you slip your hand up, you put it right back down, and I am not here to embarrass you. Thank you. Someone else tonight, just slip it up. "Preacher, I could not raise my hand. I could not." You better be honest, friend. You better be honest for a time such as this. You better be honest. Would you slip it up right now? "Preacher, would you pray for me? I could not raise my hand. I could not." "Preacher, God is my witness. He knows that I'm not ready to meet Him. Would you pray for me?" Slip it up. Thank you. Slip it up. "Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me." Anyone else? I'm going to wait a moment. God makes no mistakes. Would you slip it up? Would you do it? "Pray for me, preacher." You might even raise your hand, but you know you shouldn't have. You know you're not ready to meet God. Would you let me pray for you? Just slip it up. Come on, mind God. Just mind God. Church, you're praying. This is a birthing room. This is a birthing room. There's births God will have to give them. Father, I pray for those that raised their hands this evening. Whether they're an adult or a child, God, I pray that you deal with their heart. God, don't let them go to hell. God, what if you burden me and this is the last service they ever get this opportunity? God, I pray you'd give them peace. Help them to come tonight and get saved. God, don't let them go to hell. God, don't let them go to hell. God, I beg you. God, don't let them go to hell. While our heads are bowed. Sir, I can't even see you. Saw your hand. Wouldn't you like to leave this building tonight knowing everything's all right between you and God? Wouldn't you like to leave here tonight saved? Wouldn't you like to leave here tonight with assurance? If you would, I want you to slip out of that pew. Come this altar. I'm going to get a man of God, take a Bible and show you what they showed me. And that's how to be saved. And know it. Would you mind the Lord? If God spoke to your heart, "Preacher, I don't want to leave here lost. I don't want to leave here lost." Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind him? Now, won't you listen to me tonight? There's a lot of you tonight in this building. You got folks you love that's lost and they're going to go to hell. Can I ask you a question? What kind of burden you have for them? When's the last time you found yourself in an altar begging God that their soul wouldn't end up in hell? Maybe you got somebody on your heart this evening. If that be the case, won't you slip out right now and come down here and pray for them? If you don't have nobody on your heart, you don't have to move. But if somebody's on your heart, Hallelujah, Jesus. Pastor Kerrigan. This young man slipped his hand up. We just make sure everything's okay. Make sure he understood me. Hallelujah. Do you realize that somebody tonight may need for you to stand in the balance, stand in the gap? Somebody tonight may need you to pray. You could be the very reason they get under conviction, your prayers. While others are still coming tonight, somebody's got a mom, somebody's got a dad, brother, sister. Some of you got youngins, grandkids. Boy, you love them with all your heart. But if they died tonight, they'd end up in hell. Won't you ask God to give you a burden for them? Ask God to give you a burden for them. That's right, just pray. Cry out to Him. Some of you teenagers getting ready to have that meeting over there at that school. Well, how many of them kids that walk down them halls are going to go to hell? God don't save them. Say, preacher, I thought this message was just folks who are lost. Oh, no, friend. Reason we're not seeing people saved like we ought to see them saved is because the church isn't burdened anymore. I go into churches and preach to the same people every year. Where are the sinners? Why aren't we bringing lost people? Brother Kerrigan, time's running out. Preacher, I know it's a little late. Can we mind the Lord just a second? This is your buddy right here playing the piano. That's Brother Phillips at him right here. All right. So when you get done praying, don't you sing me something God to put on your heart while you're praying. Just wait till you get done. Let's just wait on the Lord a minute. I believe God's giving some folks some burdens. God, touch them, Jesus. God, touch them, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad somebody prayed for me. glad I had some folk didn't give up on me. Church, hell is real, man, it's real. I watched a man in Cone Hospital slip off into hell. I watched him slip off into hell. I watched him try to climb the headboard, slipping off into hell lost. Little wife screaming at me, "Preacher, tell me it's all right. Tell me it's all right." She knew I couldn't. The only problem was she never had a burden for him while he's living. Got a burden for him on his deathbed. Too late. You be seated just a minute. I'm telling you, God's met with us, man. Son, you up to doing one song for me over there? You okay? I think you know how to mind God. Just one song for me. Just be patient a moment. Let God be God. Preacher, you know it's a wonderful night. See all them tears. I'm telling you, God hears that, man. God, listen. God sees them tears. Long as there's a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Sing something for us, son. You got it turned on there, brother. God spoke to you tonight and you hadn't come yet. I'm begging you. Slip out.
Empty and broken, I came back to Him.
You might be saved, but you're drifting.
A vessel so unworthy and so scarred with sin, but He did not despair.
Help
He started over. To His likeness, He fashions the clay.
Oh, God, do it again.
A vessel of honor I am today.
God, do it again.
All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Molded in His image, He wants me to stay. But when I stumble,
God's here. Mind Him, God's here.
And my vessel breaks, He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the
this building, as others are still coming. Now listen, we got to quit putting God in a box. Hey, I'm telling you, if you've been here since Monday night, God's been working on us. God's helped us to get things right in our heart this week. God's helped us to forgive and put things in the past. God's helped us to deal with sin this week, put things in the past. God's helped us to deal with sin this week, put things in the past. God's helped us to deal with sin this way, put things in the